This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Back on the program here at 7:38, and got some great guests in studio. Doug Gerald's here from the Gerald Auto Group. My friend Ryan Dowd, executive director of Hesed House, and we're all going to talk about tie to the Blackhawks and what Hesed House does and things of that nature. Let's start with you, Doug. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me here today.
We're just talking off the air about the Gerald Auto Group. Business is good, I hope.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And what was your first job in the car business? Were you a lot boy?
I was a sales consultant, actually, at a car dealership out in California, at a Toyota store away from the family.
Usually, so. You start as a lot kid. You're the kid running and getting the cars and washing the cars and all that stuff. How'd you avoid that?
I just was persistent and found the found the right fit. So, yeah.
The Gerald Auto Group locations are everywhere. We'll get to those in just a second. Tell me about this goals program that you've been involved with the Blackhawks for a while.
Yeah, this is our sixth year now, and our organization has looked to has been involved with a lot of different charities around Chicago. And I wanted to try to find a way to bring some awareness to the organizations that we are supporting. And I thought that donating for every Blackhawks goal would be a good way to get name recognition out. I know that Ryan doesn't have an advertising budget.
Right.
Get people aware, asking questions about different organizations. So we've done Lurie Children's Hospital, Little Friends in Naperville, Living Well. But Hesed House is an organization that I keep coming back to because what Ryan does is incredible. And the need for ending homelessness is never going away, unfortunately.
Sure.
But Ryan does it one person at a time, and the change that he makes in people's lives is permanent.
It's goals for charity. And again, it's $100 for every goal?
Yeah, $100.
Okay. So what we'd like to see is lights out from Kaner and Assad and everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
The more money, the better. And Taves, of course. Ryan, lean into that microphone. You and I have known each other for a long time, and you know that my brother,
Mickey,
was homeless for a period of time. He's actually spoken at one of your events.
He did. He was fantastic.
Yeah, and he made fun of me, which I know you enjoyed.
He did. It was good.
But here's the thing. You taught me stuff that I didn't know in regards to homelessness. Like at any given time, you've got families at Hesed House. They're going to get up and go to work or get up and get the kids off to school. They're just at a point in their life where they don't have a home.
Yeah, we typically have anywhere between 40 and 50 children in the building on any given night.
And these kids let's break down the main stereotype. Everybody thinks homeless, it's some dude that got involved with drugs. It's a guy that's an alcoholic. I mean, it's somebody that's whacked, somebody that's got, PTSD they can't control. Look, there's a portion of the homeless population that has those kinds of problems. But we got to drop all those other stereotypes if we're really serious about beating this problem.
Absolutely. We just had, I was looking at a report of individuals who'd moved out of the shelter recently, and I saw a six-month-old who moved out of the shelter with his mother. I mean, you don't think of a six-month-old when you're thinking of homelessness.
But how good does that make you feel?
Well, it's good that he's moving out. It's horrible that six-month-olds are ever homeless.
Right, but that's the point. With Hesed House, what I've seen you do is you are changing people's lives because you're teaching them how to take care of themselves in a way that they can and get them back on their feet.
Absolutely. And a lot of it is what you focused on earlier about how there's just so many different needs within the homeless community and trying to meet all of those. Some people need some job training. Somebody else needs some mental health counseling. Somebody else needs some substance abuse counseling or whatever. And we try to offer everything that anybody would need to help them get back on their feet again.
And Doug, you know this, but one of the cool things you've done in the design is I don't want to make it sound trite, but it's a mall setup of sorts where all the excuses are broken down, right? So everybody goes, it's such a hassle. I got to go to this building, then I got to go to that building, then I go to this building. Job training and substance abuse counseling, emotional counseling, medication and health, the closer those are together, the better, right?
Yeah, it's a one-stop shop. It's basically, kind of like a mall for nonprofits all in one place. We have a full medical clinic with a doctor, a legal clinic with a couple lawyers, and then the counseling and everything else. Again, all in one place and all working together. So it's very much coordinated care versus fractured care between organizations spread out around across several miles.
How'd you get into this?
I was afraid you're going to ask that. So when I was 13.
Would you like me to retract the question?
No, it's too late. You already put it out in the universe. I was 13, and I was in Sunday school class, and they passed around a sign-up sheet to volunteer at this local organization called Hesed House that I'd never heard of. And I didn't know anything about it, but I did see the sign-up sheet had all of the girls from class and none of the boys from class.
There you go.
And I liked those odds. And so I went thinking I could get a
date. Nothing wrong with that.
It's how a lot of good things start.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, there's a lot of upside to that story. You went away for a bit, but you were drawn back. I know you went to D.C. for a job, but you came back to run it again. And, yeah, and by the way, I know you're not in this for the money.
We call it my sabbatical. I moved to D.C. for a couple of years to do some international human rights work, and ultimately got a phone call from Hesed House asking me to come back. And I don't know how much you know about D.C., but it's not the most pleasant place to live. And so
you've heard the show. I feel like I know a lot. Yes.
So coming back to the Midwest, coming back to Hesed House was really it was kind of cool to come back to my dream job that I'd had before. It was very meaningful to me.
And Doug, when did you become aware of Hesed House?
I would say about 6 or 7 years ago, not too long before I started the Goals for Charity with Blackhawks. And the mall campus setup that Ryan has is absolutely one of the things that has pledged my commitment to Hesed House.
Sure.
Because it's clear that there is an incredible amount of care and sophistication that goes into the treatment for each individual to make sure that they don't come back. And it's not a one-time fix. It's not a safety net that people come to be reliant upon.
Sure.
He's looking to truly fix the lives of one person at a time. It's incredible. If you've never had an opportunity to go visit.
Yeah, you need to tour it.
Yeah, tour it.
You need to tour it.
Absolutely.
That's where you really get a sense of this, G.
Just incredible, because it's such a complex problem, especially with funding dwindling on the federal level and the state level as well. So I can only imagine just how complex the issues are, and that often you probably have folks coming back to the Hesed House, right?
Yeah, some people come back. We work really hard to help people need to come back to us.
Yeah.
First by helping them have the skills they need when they move out, but then also working with them after they move out so they don't have to come back.
Yeah, it's just not an easy fix at all.
It's not. We actually, as a country, are getting better at homelessness. It may not feel that way, but we're actually getting better as a country at figuring out what works to get people out of homelessness. And the biggest shift in our mindset as a industry, for lack of a better term, is we're stopped trying to find the solution to homelessness,
right,
and we're looking for the solutions to homelessness. And once you start breaking it down into kind of micro responses targeted towards specific subpopulations, all of a sudden, actually, we can move the needle on this issue.
There have been some great things that have happened in the past couple of years just in regards to shining a light on homelessness and breaking down some of these stereotypes. And talk about the movie that was made.
Oh, yeah. Actually, last time I was in the studio, yeah, was with you and Emilio. So Emilio Estevez made a movie a couple of years back about libraries and homeless individuals in libraries. And I had just released a book about homelessness in libraries. And so I got a Facebook friend request from him. I thought it was a buddy messing with me, but it wasn't. It was Emilio. And that led to some phone calls, that led to hanging out with him at Santa Barbara Film Festival, which ultimately led to a 25-city tour to promote the movie with him, which was really exciting, not just to get to run around the country with a movie star, but also get
and by the way, a really good guy.
Really, really good guy. He's the
still
real
genuine
deal.
Genuine good deal.
Absolutely the real deal.
Yeah.
But also to get to use this platform of this movie to shine a spotlight, to help educate the country. We did Q&As all around the country to help people understand this issue at a much deeper level and realize that we can end homelessness in our country.
Yeah.
We need to have enough political will to do so.
And where do we get the book?
The book, Amazon, or Amazon's probably the best place. Yeah.
And is it as simple as libraries are open and I need a place to get out of the weather and the rain and whatever?
That's certainly part of it. But libraries are also everything that homelessness is not. You know, homelessness is fairly boring. Libraries have lots of resources to keep you interested. Libraries are relatively, people are not packed on top of each other. There's a decent amount of space. Homeless shelters are really, really crowded. Homeless shelters are really, really loud. Libraries are much quieter. It's a break from being homeless when you go into a library.
Yeah. More in a moment with both of these fine gentlemen.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Coming up, the hero we mentioned earlier, Jean-Paul LaPierre, smacking around a bully on the blue line and stopping a guy from mugging everybody on the train. Got to hear from this guy. I'm glad he's not live. You might punch me. He seems flinchy, but that guy's a hero. In studio, Doug Gerald from the Gerald Auto Group and Ryan Dowd, Executive Director of Hesed House. This is all a part of the Goals for Charity program presented by WGN Radio, and specifically, Doug's group has decided this year we've got to step up for Hesed House. Is that a everybody gets a vote thing, or how did that work when you come to the decision?
Yeah, well, we try to select organizations that we know are going to be around for a long time.
Sure.
And so there's four or five that we consider every year, but
make the money do the most good.
In some form or fashion, we've been involved with Hesed House since I met Ryan.
Yeah.
So whether it's
he's hard to say no to.
He is hard to say no to. But you know, you go and you see the organization, and it's hard to say no to supporting an organization that's as thorough and complete and thoughtful as Hesed House is. Oh yeah, it's the best.
A couple of texters here. 815. You sound great on the radio, Doug. Keep up the great work. It's John at the Collision Center. I guess must be an old pal of yours or something. 630. Morton College Library is going to be screening The Public. That's the movie. On November 20th, donations are accepted and given to local homeless shelter there, and we are located in Cicero. We need everybody to step up and do that. All right, so a couple of questions that come up, just general perceptions about homelessness, Ryan Dowd. We got all this food we throw out every day in this country. This is one of the great restaurant cities in the world. And I get asked this all the time. Why can't the restaurants be able to accumulate the food, have a delivery service of some sort, and help the shelters out?
Many do. At Hesed House, we serve hundreds of thousands of meals a year, and we buy almost no food. And because there's a lot of generosity, and it's a lot of corporate companies, a lot of restaurants being very, very generous.
So there's no specific law against it?
No. In fact, there's laws protecting from liability. If you're a restaurant and you donate the food, there happens to be some problems with that food, there's some liability protection.
And it goes to how you help that's not maybe cash related, too. Do you guys use volunteers for everything?
Only about 9,000, yeah.
Wow, that's a huge operation.
But you need 9,004, so we're going to need people to step up.
Yes. The vast majority of the work we do is being done by people who are there because they want to be there. They're not collecting a paycheck. They're there to volunteer.
Well, Steve is talking about stereotypes, and I think a lot of people assume that homelessness is something that doesn't affect or couldn't affect somebody they know. But when you hear the statistics of how many people and families, especially, are living paycheck to paycheck or because of health issues, hospital bills,
sure,
that could throw them into immediate homelessness. Can you give us some examples or stories of a family or someone that's really touched your heart?
Yeah, the ones that are the hardest for me are always when it's the single mothers with the kids. You got little kids, and little kids, a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, should just never be in a homeless shelter ever. And when I say that we have 40 or 50 kids in the building a night, most of those are under the age of 5. Because what happens is, let's say you've got children and you've got a 16-year-old and you have to go live at a shelter. Usually that 16-year-old's going to go stay with a family member, a friend, somebody else.
Yeah.
But you got a 4-year-old. That 4-year-old's coming with you. And so what you end up with in the shelters is tons and tons of little kids and very few junior high schoolers and high schoolers because they're off with somebody else, which is its own kind of trauma, right? You know, your mom or dad's going living at the shelter and you're living with a family member and you're separated, which is hard. But it also beats the alternative of having those kids in the shelter. And you get a family in and you think, particularly a single mom with little kids, you're thinking, how the heck are you going to find daycare for your two kids and the job skills you need and get back into feeding and find an apartment where the three of you can live? And you know right out of the gate that this is not going to be a quick fix because the barriers between her and that family getting back on their feet again, they're big, and it's going to take a little time, and it's going to take some work. But we're in this for the long haul, and so whatever it takes, and if we can get it out in a week, that's awesome. If it takes 3 weeks, that's okay too. If it takes a year, we're going to be there for you. If it takes longer, we're going to stand by you.
I mean, single moms, I imagine, are vulnerable for a variety of reasons, but is there one that you find overall that throws, just sort of is the straw that breaks the camel's back? Is somebody not paying child support? Like, what is happening usually in a single mom's life?
Well, there's a few things. One is childcare is really expensive. Second is housing costs more because you need a bigger place. But then probably the biggest one is it's really hard to get and hold a job when you don't have that support behind you to watch your kids. So if your child gets sick and now you got to take a day off from
Absolutely.
Work, you're not getting paid, and B, you might be losing your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so the what it takes to support that family when there's only a mother who may not be making very much in the first place, it's difficult.
It's GeraldAuto.com, HessedHouse.org, and it's goals for charity. I'm going to give you the last word here, Doug. What do you want people to know that maybe we haven't covered, or anything else you want to add?
Well, we got the model year kickoff going right now. Lots of new models. It's
right.
A lot of fun. October of 2019 is when we release the 2020s, so that's fun.
So it's coming up. Big fall ahead.
Yeah, great fall.
Yep, and the more money that my friend Doug gets here, the more money he's going to give to Ryan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's a win-win.
Excellent. Thank you.
So, anyway, great to see you. Congratulations to you. You told us you just got married recently.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And the lovely lady's name?
Jessica.
Jessica, good morning to you as well. I assume she's listening so she can critique your performance.
Yeah, she set an alarm, so hopefully she found the radio.
And Ryan, God bless you, man. Everything you guys do over there, and to your lovely wife and family and the daughter who thinks you're a nerd, all of the folks that you work with, congratulations.
Thanks, brother.
All right.